I have asked Bob T to read Leadership in AA, Ever a Vital Need, on page 37 of the 2021 through 2023 service manual.
Hi, everybody. My name is Bob. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is June 6, 2010. My home group is the Living Sober Group of Hope Sound, Florida. Leadership in AA, Ever a Vital Need. Excerpts from Bill W.'s article in the April 1959 Grapevine. See Concept 9, page C29 of 12 Concepts for World Service for the full article. Somewhere in our literature, there is a statement to this effect. Our leaders do not drive by mandate, they lead by example. In effect, we are saying to them, act for us, but don't boss us. Therefore, a leader in AA service is a man or woman who can personally put principles, plans, and policies into such dedicated and effective action that the rest of us want to back him up and help him do with his job. When a leader power drives us badly, we rebel. But when he too meekly becomes an order taker and he exercises no judgment of his own, well, he really isn't a leader at all. Good leadership originates plans, policies, and ideas for the improvement of our fellowship and its services. But in new and important matters, it will nevertheless consult widely before taking decisions and actions. Good leadership will also remember that a fine plan or idea can come from anybody, anywhere. Consequently, good leadership will often discard its own cherished plans for others that are better and will give credit to the source. Good leadership never passes the buck. Once assured that it has or can obtain sufficient general backing, it freely takes decisions and puts them into action forthwith, provided, of course, that such action be within the framework of its defined authority and responsibility. Another qualification for leadership is give and take, the ability to compromise cheerfully whenever a proper compromise can cause a situation to progress in what appears to be the right direction. Compromise comes hard to all of us, all or nothing drunks. Nevertheless, we must never lose sight of the fact that progress is nearly always characterized by a series of improving compromises. We cannot, however, compromise always. Now and then, it is truly necessary to stick flat-footed to one's conviction about an issue until it is settled. These are situations for keen timing and careful discrimination as to which course to take. Leadership is often called upon to face heavy and sometimes long-continued criticism. This is an acid test. There are always the constructive critics, our friends indeed. We ought never fail to give them a careful hearing. We should be willing to let them modify our opinions or change them completely. Often, too, we shall have to disagree and then stand fast without losing their friendship.
Okay, please send questions directly to Billy through the chat. He will be answering questions throughout this presentation as he sees fit. Billy, you'll have until 5 minutes to the top of the hour, and the time is now yours.
Thanks, Billy Alcoholic. Hey, everyone. I like that phrasing, questions that as I see fit. So what that means is, if it's about tonight's chapter, I'll definitely answer it. If it's quasi-related, I'll take a hard look at it. But if it's something that should go to your current delegate, I will not answer it. Then I'm going to tell you to take it to your DCM or your delegate. So it's good to be here tonight. A couple of things. It's hard to know. We have barely 50 minutes. I know I don't want to insult anyone here who has been a delegate or is a delegate or is an alternate delegate or feels they qualified to be a delegate, which some people may. But it's probably better if I focus on what you should expect from your delegate, because that applies to everyone in the room. and what really the job is. I'll be sharing my experience. My experience is that I am a panel 49 delegate, meaning I was elected in 99 and served 99 in 2000. I was actually elected an alternate delegate to start serving in 99 and 2000, and the delegate in the area where I was a delegate passed away early. So his term became mine. I was assigned to the Public Information Committee at the General Service Conference. And at my first conference, I was elected chair of the Public Information Committee for the net for my second conference. And when we get further on into the book, there's a section about the conference and about conference committees. I will explain how that works and try to show you some things so that you can visualize, because visual, you know, people learn when they see. But to go back to concept one, just to slowly get to where, how we got here. If you've never been through the concepts, I hope that you do find someone to take you through the concepts. But it's hard for me to explain the delegate role without referring to some of the concepts. And at a high level, concept one is where in 1955, the conference was called the Permanent Successors to the Founders. Dr. Bob had died 4 years earlier. There had been four test conferences, 1951, 52, 53, and 54. In 1955 was the first real General Service Conference, and that was as a result of a resolution at the International Convention and the conference charter, which took Bill and Bob's advisory roles and passed them on to the groups. See, up until that point, the trustees were a bunch of unknown people, mostly New Yorkers, mostly non-alcoholic, and they dealt with the day-to-day business operations of Alcoholics Anonymous. You're talking about the Grapevine had come to existence 10 years before that, 9 years before that. AA Publishing was publishing the Big Book already and other literature. And that's really what the trustees focused on. And if there was an AA policy question, so a question about recovery, a question about the traditions, all the types of things we see on our conference agenda, a question about new literature, things that were AA recovery related, they would go to Bill and Bob. That's who the trustees went to get advice from. And when Bob passed away, after he was very sick for 2 years, they went to Bill. And actually, you know, you don't hear this a lot, but sometimes, you know, well, that's concept one. Concept two is about each area of the 93 having a delegate. That's how the groups carry out concept one, through concept two, through having a delegate. And at that time, in the late 40s, early 50s, sometimes you'll hear an urban myth that, oh, Bill must have been the most spiritual guy on earth because he gave up all this power, you know? He was the final say. He was the end-all be-all, you know? Amen, Dr. Bob. If you go to the story in Tradition 3 about the man with a problem that had a worse social stigma than alcoholism, they say they called the founder. You know, in those days, you could actually pick up the phone and just get Bill or Bob on the phone, right? Hey, what do we do? And their answer in that story was, what would the master do? But Bill wasn't as generous with giving little authority as one might think, and I'm not, believe me, I am the biggest Bill W. fan in the world. Bill W. had met Reverend Ed Dowling. Reverend Ed Dowling, if you read AA history books, was a Jesuit priest in St. Louis. He became fascinated with Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12-step program. He said to himself many times and told other people that to him it seemed very much like the spiritual practices of St. Francis Loyola. And Ed Dowling actually went to New York to track down this Bill W. guy. Showed up at the 23rd or the 24th Street Clubhouse, and the story is in a couple of AA history books that, you know, the janitor went down and looked like a drunk was at the door, and it was this priest. And the only thing important for you to know about that is that without Ed Dowling, we might not have our conference today. He was the one who convinced Bill that Bill would never get the benefit and the liberty and the freedom of the 12 steps if he was always in charge, if he was always carrying the weight of AA on his shoulders, and told him that you're going to have to give that up. And so we have this general service conference, and per concept two, each area elects a delegate. And I want to go quickly into concept three, because we talk about the right of decision and we argue about it. We either say someone should have made a decision, or then we argue someone shouldn't have made a decision. But really, concept three, the most pure form, is the decision who you vote for to be your delegate. It's the ultimate right of decision in Alcoholics Anonymous. Because you can't be at the conference with your delegate. You can tell your delegate how your area feels. Your group can write your delegate letters. Your group could even ask for a special meeting with your delegate before the General Service Conference. But at the end of the day, your delegate is sitting in that seat with 134 or 35 other people with an electronic voting clicker in their hand. And at the end of the day, they're the ones exercising a vote. They have that right of decision. Because sometimes in today's AA, I see a lot of people focus on telling the delegate what to do, telling the delegate how to do their job, or unhappy with the delegate when they return, or really unhappy with the General Service Conference as a whole, that they have made some decisions that you absolutely don't agree with. And while I totally respect that everybody has that right in Alcoholics Anonymous, I can't stress enough that it's kind of like forgetting to stop at the red light signal as you're making a left turn. It's too late. Once you elect the delegate, you've already committed. That's the person who's voting for one of the 93 areas in the United States and Canada. And so we should really take careful examination of who we elect. Now, I want to pass on, because anyone that knows me knows that I don't know who here has ideas about someday wanting to be a delegate. I hope that there's a lot of yous, and you speak at a place like this, there's a future past delegate or a future trustee in the room. I know that. And a lot of people have a lot of opinions about who should stand for delegate, who should stand for alternate delegate. And in today's AA, I would tell you around election season, which is approaching, September, October, November, about 45, half of the areas will elect their delegates. I get lots of phone calls. And a lot of those calls are from people who were told not to stand, that a service sponsor or an area officer or someone else told them, no, you have to do this and this before you stand. And what I want to say is, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have experience. Of course you should. But the other night on the long-term time speakers workshop, the speaker was George D. Some of you may know George D. He was a delegate from California, from the San Francisco area. George is currently 96 years old, 63 years sober. He served as the general manager of the General Service Office from 1992 to 2000. He served as the Pacific Regional Trustee, I want to say from 1978 to 82 or somewhere around there. And he was a Panel 72 delegate. So he was in the conference in 1972 and 1973. The reason I'm telling you that is I have immense respect for George, and I don't always agree with him, but I have immense respect. And I would tell you that a lot of people in AA have immense respect for him. They might not always agree with him. George D. became a GSR in 1969. Okay? 1969. He was a GSR for 3 years before he got elected delegate. Never a DCM, never an area officer. Never, never, never anything else. He finished somebody's term as a GSR, took his own 2 year term as a GSR, and after that was elected as a delegate. Now, based on his service resume, it doesn't look like he was a complete washout failure. I would say that based on the times and the places of AA and the different world that it was, somehow or another, George was the most qualified to be delegate, or the most qualified to be Pacific Regional Trustee, or the most qualified to work at our General Service Office. So just be very careful about who you tell what they should do, or about what advice you get. Remember, because AA was very different back then. By different, I mean this. Some people have heard me refer to the dais at the assembly as like the dais in the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding, right? There's like a million people sitting on the dais, you know? We didn't have all these positions back then. We didn't have registrar, corresponding secretary, recording secretary, alternate registrar, alternate treasurer. Most areas didn't even have an alternate delegate. The area chair served as alternate delegate. That only started to change in the 60s and then the 70s, that the alternate delegate was its own position. But what I'm saying is now in the service structure, if you asked somebody to hold every officer job before they became delegate, you're talking 20 years in some places. In some places, more. And above all, when you're exercising your right to elect the delegate, and this is by no means anti-alternate delegate, because I was an alternate delegate, being an alternate delegate is not a guarantee or not a privilege that you deserve to be delegate more. It means that for those 2 years, the area determined that if our delegate can't go, we trust you to go. In some ways, the election for alternate is super important because you might be electing somebody who goes with very little notice or very little time to prepare. Last year, the delegates voted again to not give alternate delegates access to the delegates dashboard. I don't know how that's possible. I hope that we change that in the future. I was an alternate delegate who, at that time, you weren't even allowed to go to the delegate meetings with the regional trustee at your convention, your regional convention. So after I became a delegate, I put a motion to change that because we have to make sure alternate delegates are prepared. But I know tons of delegates who weren't alternates who've done really good jobs, really, really good jobs. So I just wanted to pass that along for anyone that's interested. So the delegate job is that of a communicator. That is their number one job. It doesn't matter if they're the best financial mind in the world. It doesn't matter if they know the concepts and the traditions better than anybody. We want someone to know a little bit about finance, and we want someone to be experienced with the traditions and concepts. It doesn't matter if they're an accountant. It doesn't matter if they're a lawyer. It doesn't matter. And none of that matters. Those are all gravy, cherry on top of an ice cream sundae. The number one job of the delegate is to be an effective communicator. And I want to tell you, and I gladly talk about this, that sometimes I don't think we've changed the type of people we're electing or what our expectations based on the modern world. I'm going to guess by people that have your cameras on. I don't need your electronic digital raised hand, but I would just appreciate if you would raise your regular hand. If in fact you know that in your area, your delegate either has a separate meeting reporting back about the General Service Conference or a separate section of your assembly, how many of you have that in your area? Okay. And that's very popular today. When I was a delegate, 32 years old, a past delegate came up to me when I came back from the conference and said to me, Billy, don't report back more than 15 minutes. They don't need to know all this stuff. That's what I was told. That was my advice as a delegate in 1999. But remember, the generations were so different. Most of the people who were delegates at that time, you're talking about people who got sober in the 60s and the 70s. You're talking about people who are one or two generations in front of me by my birth date. The world was very different, and I want to stress this so that it doesn't look like I'm picking on anybody. Back in 1999, 24-hour cable news was a new thing, okay? And still a lot of people didn't have cable or watch it. Back in 1999, people still waited for their one newspaper a day. Some people liked it in the morning. Some people like it in the afternoon. Back in 1999, a lot of people only had one choice. Well, maybe multiple choices, but one time to watch the news. There were three or four channels in each city we lived in, if you didn't have cable, and everyone watched the 6 or the 7 o'clock news. Usually they watched the local news followed by the world news. But you're talking about a generation that all those delegates 20 years before, they got their news the next day, most of them, in a newspaper. I have a 1999 New York Times article that said the internet is going away. It's not working out. Can you believe that? The internet is going away. Just for all of us that are on Wi-Fi right now. Yeah, it's going away. It's a fad. It's not working. And you have to understand that you're talking about a time in the 90s. The first AA website was not AA.org, in case you're not aware of that. The first AA website was actually a young people's committee. No shock there. And somewhere I have a copy of the letter that some delegate wrote to GSO in like 1993 saying, you got to stop these rogue young kids from having a website. It's going to be the slippery slope that's going to end Alcoholics Anonymous. And you know, I say all that because I'm very respectful of not judging people based on the times they lived or acted in. That I understand why things were different. I actually sympathize with the folks today. I went to the General Service Conference as a delegate. I had a laptop. I had a Mac PowerBook. I was not allowed to use it in the conference room. That was a rule. At that time, I would go at night to my hotel room and I would take the, if you don't know this, I'll educate the young people. They used to hang the wire, the cable modem wire, on a hanger in a plastic bag in hotel rooms. That's where you would get it. And you would take that cable and you would connect your laptop. But I was familiar with websites and I watched 24-hour news and I had an email address. The year that I was, first year I was a delegate, no email communication from the General Service Office. Too many people did not have email addresses. I received my first batch of background in the quarter, in the square disks, rubber band together, like 14 of them. But the job is that of a communicator. And the job is that of a facilitator. I loved what we read tonight because I've been accused of being a sellout because maybe I changed my mind on something in AA. Or maybe I didn't change my mind, but maybe I backed off it a little bit. You know, there's a comedian that has that joke that, you know, his wife always complains that he goes from 0 to 100, and he always says, I don't understand that because I start at 80. Like, I totally identify with that, you know? But our leadership essay talks about the ability to be flexible, the ability to compromise. And if you're a delegate, you have to be a facilitator. And before the General Service Conference, the delegate's job is to make sure, and it's different in all 93 areas, and it causes lots of problems. You know what it was great about in 1999 compared to being a delegate today? If I got a letter from the General Service Office, and I mean a letter, not an email, like a letter. Back then, there used to be a thing, if you're ever playing trivia late at night, making answers at some AA convention. The famous thing was called the GSO cubbyhole. That was it. You had really made it if you got a cubbyhole at GSO. And every trustee had a cubbyhole, and every director, and every staff member, and then the delegate areas, 1 through 92 at the time, before we created the 93rd area. And when something was being communicated, it would go to the mailroom, and they would put it in the cubbyhole of the person who had to get it. Trustees are getting this, delegates are getting this, everybody's getting this. And then once a week, and the next time you run into an old past delegate or a past trustee, ask them. Once a week, every trustee and delegate got their cubbyhole mail package. Every Monday or every Friday, depending on what was going on, the mailroom would package together my cubbyhole package from Area 19, and I would get it, so I would get my letter. And so let's say I got my letter on a Tuesday. Let's say I got home from work at 4 o'clock and got my letter at 4:30. You know what I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt? That no delegate who's quicker than me is going to let my area know something tonight. I didn't have to worry about that. Those things did not happen because everybody got it in the mail. And then everybody communicated with their DCMs and their districts via mail. And then the districts communicated with the GSRs via mail or updates at the district meeting. Today, we live in such a different, global, fast-paced world News is only news in like the first 10 minutes in our world today. By 4 o'clock, what was on the news this morning doesn't even qualify as news. That's old news. Those are very hard to navigate if you're a delegate. But the delegate's job is to work within the framework of your area to get your conscience the best they can on conference agenda items. The one thing I would tell you that is your business, and I want to stress, you know, I always say there's things that are my business and none of my business. This is your business. How your area goes through the agenda items. That is area business. Now, you probably have something in your guidelines how you do it. If you don't have it in your guidelines, it's just been passed down, like in a family. That is not in stone. If the way your area reviews agenda items is the same way we did it in 1970 or 1990, maybe it's time to look at that. And you, as a voting member of your area, should take a hard look at that. Are we still doing things some old way we used to do it? Or is there a way we could do it better now? I look at the platform we're on tonight. When we go over the conference in a couple of weeks, I'll show you a conference agenda if you've never seen one. But the conference agendas are not getting smaller. They're getting larger. We now have something called the equitable distribution of work. Because some conference committees have so much business. I look at how I'm talking to you right now, like, I don't know, if I was a delegate today, like, maybe I need to have a couple of sessions on Zoom or some other platform. Maybe I can go through each committee, just one committee at a time over a couple of different weeks. All I'm saying is there's lots of different ways to do that. And then the delegate goes to the conference. Now, the delegate duties in between the conference are obviously to be the communication link from GSO and the Grapevine, to pass that on. I think that's tough in today's world, too. Because 40 years ago, delegates didn't pass on a lot of information. But 40 years ago, the news was only an hour a day. Somehow or another, the news is 24 hours a day now. It used to be an hour and a half a day. Whether we like it or not, I think we have to accept that our world is different today regarding how we receive information, how we digest information, and probably the one that drives AA servants the craziest is our expectations of how much information we should receive. 40 years ago, the expectation was way lower than it is today. Today, people really want to be informed. So the delegate goes to the conference, and we'll talk about the conference in a couple of weeks. But when they come back, they have to share the results of the conference. Areas do that in different ways. I do want to pass on a couple of things. Number one, there's no secret voting in AA. We use electronic voting, not secret voting, to speed up the flow of the conference. While the delegate has right a decision how they vote, they do not have the right to keep it secret. That is not what Concept 3 talks about. They have a responsibility to tell their area how they voted. And we already read tonight, I mean, let me just, let's see. Leadership is often called upon to face heavy and sometimes long continued criticism. That's the invitation to be involved in AA service we put in the service manual. Thanks for being one of the 10% who really wants to do a lot of service. And our thank you to you is long and continued criticism. But that comes with the territory. The other thing is I hear delegates say, oh, I'm not delegate today. Or I'm just at my regular meeting. I don't want to be a delegate tonight. Well, the delegate job is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You don't get to be mysteriously delegate at 10 o'clock in the afternoon, at 10 o'clock in the morning, and at 6 o'clock at night when you go to a meeting, you're all of a sudden, oh, don't bother me with that delegate stuff. No, you're the delegate. It's a great a couple of the other things probably that people hear. Sometimes you hear people talk about being a delegate as the ultimate service position in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's not. It's not the most important service position in Alcoholics Anonymous. Is it important? Yes. Am I personally honored that I got the chance? Yes. But no different than anyone else doing service in Alcoholics Anonymous. There's no special, I know sometimes people get crazy when I say this, but there's no special spiritual mountaintop at the conference in New York. There's no special spiritual experience at the conference in New York. How unfair would that be? We have, I don't know, give or take, call it 1.5 million in the U.S. and Canada. I mean, I can't even do that division. There'd be too many zeros after the point. That many below 1% are entitled to have the best spiritual experience we have to offer. And the only way to get that is by becoming a delegate. That's simply not true. Now, is the experience incredible? Yes. Was for me. I know there are some people here who have been delegates. There are some people here who have been to the conference as a guest or as a volunteer. That night at the opening dinner, I remember it was my first opening dinner as a delegate. And I remember after going get coffee or ice cream or whatever and going to bed and I couldn't really sleep. I was like a kid the night before Christmas, right? And I remember I got up and I went downstairs and the room was all set up for Monday morning. And it had the big banner in the front, General Service Conference, 49th General Service Conference. It had the banner under it, which was the theme of that year's conference. The podium was perfectly set up with the American flag, the Canadian flag, the Puerto Rican flag. There were big books in different languages going across the dais. There were rows set up classroom style so that everyone had a table to sit at. And there were three, a middle aisle and two side aisles. And there was a microphone halfway up in each of them with a microphone 1, 2, and 3 labeled on them. And, you know, for me, I don't know. I don't know what it's like. I always wanted to know what it was like to play third base for the Yankees and walk into Yankee Stadium before they start a game. But to walk into that room, it was, you know, quite an experience, but not the greatest spiritual experience of my sobriety, for sure. The conference is amazing. Opening your eyes and your mind to 90, at that time, 91 other areas and how they did things and how their groups thought about things. And, you know, I was a delegate. I grew up. You know, I got sober in New York and I was a delegate. I had moved to Chicago for work. I was a delegate from Chicago. So I'm pretty much an urban AA-er at that time. And to get introduced you know, in Chicago, where I lived in Chicago, I could drive a half hour south, about 40 minutes north, and about 40 minutes west, and I would leave my area. If I drove 5 minutes east, I would drive into Lake Michigan. So north, south, and west. And inside that small geographic area, over 2,000 groups. And three official languages at that time: English, Spanish, and Polish. So to meet delegates from like a whole state who could drive 10 hours and still not leave their area, to meet delegates from Canada who could drive like 20 hours and not leave their area, to meet people where for thousands of miles there was no such thing as an intergroup or a central office. That stuff was all foreign to me because I know the AA I know. And so the experience of the conference, yes, a delegate's job is to bring their area's conscience to the conference. But it's just as an important a job for that delegate to learn from the 92 others and bring back to their area what they learned about what's going on in the rest of AA or where things may be different. And, you know, at that time, Chicago had the best translation system. Other areas used to come to our area. Believe it or not, in Florida and southern border states, they didn't translate their assemblies. I couldn't believe it when I found that out. And we actually bought the system from that the Montreal Canadiens used in the hockey arena. Instead of having an individual unit, we bought our own AM broadcast station. So that people could bring their own AM/FM Walkman. And it didn't matter how many sets we had. If you brought a Walkman, you could tune into our AM station. And I remember like learning, wow, there are other AA members who speak the languages of our conference, the official languages, French, English, and Spanish. And in Chicago, like I said, we had Polish, but it opened my eyes wide, really wide, as to this little narrow view of AA that I had of urban city AA, a new meeting every block, walk 5 feet to go get coffee. I mean, it was amazing for me. And, you know, as I see today, the delegates have an amazing job to do and almost harder. It's hard to believe that I wrestle with this question. Why has technology improved? Does sometimes communication seem worse than Alcoholics Anonymous? Like, that's a question that rattles in my head. It did when I was a trustee, too. I think it's because we have like 1 foot in the 1970 model of being a delegate and 1 foot in the 2024. And the truth is, we got to get both feet in 2024. We have to communicate for 2024. If you don't know who your delegate is, find out from your DCM or somebody else. Send them an email and thank them for their service and maybe find out where they usually go to meetings. And maybe you don't got to stalk them, but maybe have a cup of coffee with them one day. If your group's unhappy with certain things going on in AA, well, your group could vote to have a special meeting one night and invite the delegate to come and have a interactive sharing session between your group and the delegate about what's going on in AA. I wanted to show you a couple of things before I stop talking. So this is the 2017 General Service Conference binder. I have 10 of these bind. I actually have 14. I've been a voting member at 10 General Service Conferences and four others as an appointed committee member where I was not a voting member of the conference. But this is the binder. In 2017, I had it basically electronic as well as in the binder. You get this binder when you sign in, when you register. It has everything you need for the work for the week. I also brought this. This is the first one I grabbed off the shelf. This is the 60th General Service Conference. This is my scrapbook. This is all the stuff I picked up, all the gifts or pens or pins from other delegates. Unfortunately, by the way, I can give a help wanted or a wanted poster ad right now. My 49th and 50th General Service Conference binders and scrapbooks was stolen at an archives event about 20 years ago. So if you happen to be at an archives event, you know my text number, and you run into a 49th or 50th General Service Conference binder. What I also wanted to show you is this is my book from the 67th General Service Conference there. You can see my name tag. There's a section out, there's a table outside the door, and each voting member attendee gets to put a book out. And you get to have the other delegates sign your books. I have one book for each of the 10 conferences I was at. Some people put out a daily reflections and they ask people to sign on their anniversary day so that they know it's their anniversary that morning when they get up. They know it's so-and-so's anniversary. But you can see that inside. And, you know, some of the things we do, not everything we do translates around the world. But this does. I was at the Russian General Service Conference in April of 2015, and there's my souvenir book. There's my name tag. They do the same thing. All the Russian members signed it. I signed theirs. There's plenty of time to have ice cream and visit stepping stones, but the delegate job is hard. It's a super, super tough commitment. It for sure is a lot of work. I look at some area schedules today because most area delegates are on like every committee in the area and the area chair. And they're expected to be at so many events. And then conference season comes upon us, and then background information, and then getting the information to the groups. But at the end of the day, you have to hold your delegate up to a high standard of accountability for communication. You can't be mad at your delegate how they voted. You can, but it's worthless, I assure you. I've tried it too many times. Nothing good comes from it. The best thing I could do you is tell you in the book I just held up, there's a section. It starts with Mr. Brown. There's a lot of good information there in how to deal with people if you're not happy with how they're operating. But the expectation you should have of your delegate is that you're getting communication and getting it quick from GSO, and that your delegate is sharing things that should be shared. And there really are no secrets in AA. You know, at the trustee level, there are some legal and some human resources issues. But other than that, there's really no secrets. And the more information we pass on to people in today's world, maybe this wasn't true in 1975. Maybe people in 1975 said to their delegate, "Hey, don't send me any more of that nonsense. Or you're sending me too much stuff." That might have happened. That's not my experience in the last 20 years since the world has become an information world, since the communication world has become so instantaneous. My experience today is that nobody complains about too much information is that people complain about lack of information. So I'm going to open it up for questions. There's a question here. Besides formal area office committee chair experience, what other types of AA experience for delegates are important for delegates to act to effectively serve? Great question. Number one, do you have a home group? Are you sponsoring people? Do you have a sponsor? Those are critically important. You might have some things in your work or professional life that have helped you. Those are not requirements, but if they've helped build who you are today, they may be helpful. I would definitely tell you, effectively communicating things, public speaking, it's part of the delegate's job. You know, there's a lot of places in AA where you can say, oh, I'm not really a speaker, or I don't like doing this. And you say, great, make all the coffee you want, be a treasurer. There's lots of things you can do. But the delegate's job is to communicate, to be an effective communicator. The other quality I would say is time management. You're going to have to manage the time in your life better than you probably ever have before, because of the restraints that are on you. This weekend, our district spent 3.5 hours with our delegate getting feedback on the General Service Conference. Powerful. Thank you for the person who sent that. Yes, that's what's becoming more common. People want long, in-depth information. Now, everybody might not want it, but then they have the choice of not going. But in today's world, literally, if you are a delegate and you get an email and you do not pass it on to your area, I'll just say within 24 hours. Within 48 hours, everybody else in your area already has heard about it from all their friends in other areas. That's just the way it goes. That's the world we live in today. Please send in any questions. I'll give it a couple of minutes. Oh, here's a really good question. Who is lower on the upside down triangle, the delegate or the area chair? That's a really, really good question. Especially in today's AA, I find. In some areas, it's very common to be area chair, then alternate delegate, then delegate. Where I served as a delegate, and a lot of places in the Midwest, it's very common to be area chair after your delegate. I could argue the pros and cons of either. What I do see happen sometimes is the delegate, the best way I can say it is, the delegate is not the chair of the area. The business of the area is not the delegate's business. They may have a vote. They may have a vote on some of the committees. But the area chair is like the chief administrative officer of the area. They're not above and below. They're on the same level of that upside down triangle, but they have different responsibilities. The area chair's job is to make sure the area runs effectively. The delegate's job is to communicate between the area and GSO and GSO in the area. But that is an excellent question, because sometimes I see it. Somebody who's been area chair, when they become alternate or delegate, they have a hard time, like they have a hard time separating away from being area chair. But we have to let the area chair be area chair, because I would tell you, except for being chair of AAWS, chair of an area is the hardest job in AA, bar none, hands down. If you want to talk about headaches, if we're defining a job as hard by headaches, area chair is a difficult, difficult job with none of the glamour. No ice cream in New York, No trip to stepping stones. You don't get to say you're a panel whatever from area whatever for the rest of your life. No, area chair is a very difficult job. So thank you for that question. Before we turn off, any last questions? The service manual lists qualifications for delegates. So those only suggestions are really something to be adhered to. I will answer this question quickly. That is a very good question. I want to go to that page and give it to you right now. Just hold on 1 second. If you would turn to page, how did I go past it? Because the delegate chapter is so. If you go to page 32, and then go to page 33, you'll see qualifications. These are all suggestions. However, I'm going to give a big disclaimer here. Some of your areas may have their own qualifications and rules for elections and positions, and and those really may be non-negotiable. Some areas make sure you've been a DCM. Some areas make sure you've been a GSR. Some areas still make sure you've been a GSR or a DCM in that area. But these qualifications are just suggestions based on all feedback from all 93 areas. But thank you for the question. I'll turn it back over to you, Brooke.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.